Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Things you don't really need to know, but probably should. I'm Ciara Revan, and this is the Sunday 7.
On this week's award-winning Sunday 7, we take a deep dive into the Baltimore Bridge collapse. Well, Gaia tells us why SIM cards are going to be a thing of the past. We learn about the balance between exercise and insomnia, and we catch some cocaine fish. But first, on this day in 1889, the Eiffel Tower in Paris was officially inaugurated, becoming the world's tallest tower at the time. It's 986 feet tall and remained the world's tallest structure until the Empire State Building was built 40 years later. The designer, Gustave Eiffel, celebrated the event by unfurling a French tricolour at the top of the tower.
One of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until they get that under control, we gotta stop all traffic.
Social media quickly filled up with dramatic early morning footage of a tragic event this week as a fully loaded container ship Dali ran headlong into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. The 1.6-mile steel bridge collapsed almost immediately after the ship hit it, and a rogue crew of six who were working on the bridge were declared missing shortly afterwards. The dramatic collapse immediately led to social media conspiracy theories, and amateur bridge engineers weighed in with their own ideas about what might have happened. But Rachel Sangre, who is an associate professor at the Department of Civil and Systems Engineering at Johns Hopkins University, says it's actually the bridge's 1970s design that is at fault.
This is a three-span continuous steel truss bridge with sort of an arched truss in its center span. What that means is all three spans of that truss are connected to each other. So we can build bridges so that we have three independent trusses supported by these four piers, or we can connect them. And when we connect them, there's a lot of efficiency to be had because there's a lot of load sharing that can happen among the truss members. But it also means that when this pier was struck, it not only impacts the two spans that were directly supported by that pier, but it impacts the span that apparently was pretty far from the pier, but in reality was actually connected by the truss.
The bridge's main span was 1,200 feet, which made it the third longest bridge of its type in the world. And according to Governor of Maryland Wes Moore, the bridge was up to code and had passed inspections. The container ship Dali, which was fully loaded, had a Singapore flag, but was being leased by container group Maersk. The Dali had an incident back in 2016 where it scraped the port wall in Antwerp. And former ship captain John Conrad says there has been issues flagged with the ship's engines.
Something went wrong down in that engine room. We're not sure if it's when they were transferring from one type of fuel to another type of fuel because they have to use more environmental fuel in the ship, or if they turned on automation so the engineers could go to sleep, or if there was a problem with that equipment. Last June, the ship was in Chile, and the port state inspectors, the Chilean Coast Guard, inspected and found problems with the propulsion.
The National Transportation Safety Board are engaged in an investigation to find out what went wrong. But Sal Marcogliano, maritime historian, says it's not going to be the same as an air crash investigation.
They have to fill in the pieces. We've seen these investigations when El Faro sunk and a few other vessels we've had incidents with. It's very hard. We don't have all the information. This is something that the U.S. and the International Maritime Organization should really be pushing for better documentation, better technology on board the vessels so that we can see what happens in case of these emergencies. A lot of vital data we're not going to be able to get. Engine room performance, engine room data, that's the kind of stuff that we need to determine what caused this power failure. Was it mechanical? Was it engineering? Was it electrical? We just don't know. And this is something the NTSB is going to have to do. And then, of course, you have the issue that this is an international ship with international companies. And when you start looking at the elements that are at play here, Singapore flag, Danish company, Indian crew, Japanese classification society, it gets very difficult when you're dealing with all these different entities.
It's been another busy week in tech and potentially another bad week for big tech. The European Union has opened three new investigations under its new Digital Markets Act, and it's targeting Apple, Alphabet and Meta for non-compliance. There's only one man we can turn to when big tech is under the spotlight, and that's the Smart 7's tech guru, Will Guyot. So, Will, it's really turning into a bad year for big tech, isn't it?
It's a bad year for big tech and a good year for big lawyers, as the number of legal cases and large fines start mounting up against tech companies. Just over a month ago, Apple had to pay the EU 1.5 billion quid because it was ruled they hadn't told users about Spotify and other streaming services that weren't Apple Music. Well, last week, the US Department of Justice started investigating Apple for anti-competitive practices. And now, in Europe, Apple, Google and Meta have all been told by the EU they're being investigated for non-compliance of their major new Digital Markets Act law. The EU is planning to investigate Google and Apple's anti-steering rules in their app stores and whether Google is guilty of self-preferencing its own services within its search engine. Apple's browser choice screen for iOS is being investigated, and so is Meta's pay or consent model for ad targeting. We've also got Apple being investigated for their fee structure outside of their own app store. Now, this comes thanks to a previous EU ruling that has now had to allow third-party app stores to launch in the EU. And also Meta have been told that their messaging services need to work better with other platforms. This is a major list of improvements.
Presumably we're looking at huge potential fines and a long investigation. Is there a real risk for these companies?
Well, this new EU law says that big tech could be fined up to 10% of its global annual turnover for each DMA investigation. And when you consider that Alphabet, Google's parent company, turned over $307 billion last year, you'll see why this is bigger than the previous fines chucked around by governments worldwide. The EU wants tech companies to take their responsibilities seriously, and these huge fines would make US-based tech companies take these international laws far more seriously than they have to date.
And speaking of legal troubles, Thursday saw Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years in jail over his role in the FTX crypto exchange. Was this just a straightforward fraud?
For a short period of time, Sam Bankman-Fried was making people virtual billions in cryptocurrency, but now he's spending a very real time in jail after stealing billions of dollars from both his customers and investors. This trial ruled he spent around $8 billion of customer cash to buy property, make political donations, and make personal investments. Bankman-Fried could have got up to 100 years in prison, so hopefully he's looking at the positives.
We've all gotten used to our mobiles and their increasingly tiny SIM cards that we can only really see when we upgrade our phone. But the tiny chip could be coming to an end, is that right?
The good old SIM card has been a feature of mobile phones since the 90s, and we normally only see them when we're switching devices. And soon, we won't need to see them at all, as the industry is switching to what's called an eSIM, which is a cardless solution. Apple made the US iPhone eSIM only this year, and both Google and Samsung are now encouraging users of their latest devices to switch to eSIMs and get rid of their physical SIM altogether. eSIMs can make travel and transferring to other devices easier and make it harder for your number to be cloned or hacked.
And finally, tell us what's going on with the air car. It all sounds a bit James Bond.
Are you fed up waiting on that Friday afternoon on the M4 motorway? Or is that summer journey to Glasgow just too arduous? Why not transform your car into a fully functioning plane? The prototype, which isn't actually far off something from an actual 70s Bond movie, was developed by a Slovakian team. So if you're stuck in traffic, find yourself a handy runway and 5 minutes to transform your car into a plane, and soon you'll be in the air with a range of 750 miles. Oh, and don't forget your pilot's license. And it seems the Chinese have been first to back this fantastic idea. The air car is going to launch first in the country thanks to a new licensing deal. Come on, let's form an orderly queue.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, a new climate smart rice is on the way, and Rishi doubles down on nuclear. Breast cancer is the most common type of cancer in women in the UK, and as treatments improve, so have survival rates, which have doubled over the last 50 years. Still, at least 11,000 women die from breast cancer each year in the UK, and the disease can reoccur after years of remission. Typically, after treatment to tackle the cancer, women are placed on a preventative regime of hormone-based treatment, which is intended to stop the cancer from reoccurring. However, a new study published in the journal Cancer Discovery has found that the hormone treatment may cause cancer cancer cells to become dormant rather than killing them off, and when the cells wake up, it can be harder to kill them off. Luca Magnani is Professor of Epigenetic Plasticity at the Institute of Cancer Research, and he explains what the new research suggests.
So what we basically have identified is the fact that this therapy that is commonly given to almost all women, is called hormonal chemotherapy, can induce, if you will, like a winter for the cells. So some of them will die off, but some of them will enter this hibernation state. And what is troubling is that this hibernation state result eventually in cells waking up and eventually leading to relapse. So what we really found out is that this adaptation is not mediated by genetic event, but is mediated by epigenetic event. This means that there are this epigenetic modification, this bookmark on the genome that really instructs the cell what to do at what time. And so we realize that this is really instructing cell to enter this state. And if we interfere with the genome, with the enzyme that induced this, we can end up killing the cells. This is a basic preclinical research. So that means that we are at the early stages. Now we are trying to optimize the compounds. If I have to give you a timeline, it's very difficult sometimes, but generally is between 5 and 10 years, I would say, before this entering clinical trial. And this will benefit potentially all women with estrogen receptor positive breast cancer. These are
80%.
This is about 44,000 women every year in the UK alone.
One of the main concerns around climate change is its potential effect on agriculture and the knock-on effects on food supplies around the world. Rice is a critical food for billions, but it depends on ideal conditions, and either floods or droughts can affect harvests. Scientists at the International Rice Research Institute, yes, that's a real thing, in the Philippines, are testing a new strain of rice which is designed to be both climate resistant and climate smart. One of the new variants can survive being submerged in water for 2 weeks longer than the normal variety. And senior scientist and plant breeder at the IRRI, Shalabad Dixit, says it's essential to innovate with such a critical crop.
With climate change, with increased abiotic and biotic stresses, with a reduced amount of water available, we need better genetics for rice to be able to provide stable yields in fluctuating environments.
The research involves identifying favorable rice genes and combining them to create new variants, which can also be drought resistant or even saline resistant. Research manager at the Rice Research Institute, Rilux Mendoza, says there's a real art to choosing which variants to combine for best results.
So the donor parent is the one donating the trait, say drought tolerant, submergence tolerant, all those things. And that the recipient parent, this is the one receiving that positive traits that it currently has. Say, for example, this recipient parent, it is very high yielding, early maturing, so good eating quality. So you need to put in those traits, those drought tolerance, submergence tolerance, or cold tolerance to produce offspring having all those traits.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, how exercise can help beat insomnia, and we catch some cocaine fish.
Right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back.
Monday saw Prime Minister Rishi Sunak in the northern town of Barrow to announce a new investment in nuclear energy. The £200 million fund is intended to secure the future of the UK's nuclear power and nuclear submarine programme, and comes as Russia's war in Ukraine has elevated the global threat level and also highlighted the need for the UK to develop greater energy independence. Rishi was on site to make the announcement.
Our nuclear capability underpins both our national security when it comes to our nuclear deterrent and nuclear submarines, but also our energy security and the importance of nuclear power for the future. That's why today we're making a transformational investment in our nuclear capability to safeguard the country's future, making sure, together with industry, that we create thousands more apprenticeships, graduate schemes, PhDs, building our nuclear skills base.
The aim is to create up to 40,000 jobs and look to turn Barrow-on-Furness into a nuclear hub with investment in public transport and more housing. There's also investment from key partners including BAE and Rolls-Royce, and the plan could see a boom in nuclear jobs and a sharp increase in the construction of nuclear submarines. The Nuclear and Renewable Minister Andrew Bowie spoke to Kay Burley, who wanted to know why the government has changed its tune on nuclear power.
Well, people have recognised that there's no net zero without nuclear. That's absolutely clear. And as a result, actually, of Vladimir Putin's illegal invasion of Ukraine and his weaponization of energy, people can see that energy independence is absolutely of the foremost importance, which is why investing in things like nuclear will deliver our energy independence, will deliver net zero, but will also deliver new jobs. I think that there is a broad acceptance now that nuclear needs to be a part of the mix moving forward.
There's nothing worse than insomnia, and disrupted sleep can have long-term health implications. But a new study has found that there's a correlation between exercise and insomnia, and if you exercise at least twice a week, you're more likely to have better sleep. The study, which was published by the BMJ Open Journal, looked at the data of over 4,000 people across 9 countries and ran for 10 years. It found that people who worked out regularly were 42% less likely to have trouble sleeping and 22% less likely to have any insomnia symptoms. The researchers from Imperial College London and from Reykjavik University also found that exercising twice a week for at least an hour delivered long-term health benefits. And personal trainer Matt Roberts told Sky News that he's not surprised.
The key thing really is, when you start to get yourself moving, when you start to get outside walking, that's what the participants were doing in the research study, you're raising your hormone levels, you're raising your serotonin levels. And that's quite important, because serotonin is a precursor to melatonin, and melatonin makes us fall asleep. So by the nature of just literally moving somewhat frequently, you're changing your hormone structure, you're increasing your blood circulation. You're also, of course, burning off some energy, so you're going to get more tired by the evening and fall asleep more quickly. So there's a few things all combined together. But as I say, people do make great change in their lifestyle alongside exercise change. It's a real trigger to making positive overall life balance movement.
It's been a bad week for the rivers of Britain, but first, there were warnings that rowers in the annual Oxford-Cambridge boat race would have to avoid going in the water as there are high levels of E. coli in the Thames. The new report said 2023 was the worst year for sewage spills since records began. Raw sewage was discharged for more than 3.6 million hours last year. That's an increase of over 100% on the previous year. Senior water industry figures were pointing the finger at heavy rainfall in the autumn, but there's been criticism for boat water regulators for failing to hold the industry to account. But it turns out that there are other implications for the high levels of pollution, and that's the impact on its marine life. Professor Alex Ford explained to Good Morning Britain viewers what he's finding in fish.
The sewage treatment plant behind us takes in the waste of 500,000 people, and when it can't cope with it, it chucks it straight out here. And in the marine life just beneath our feet, we're actually finding they're full of drugs. They're full of contraceptive pill, antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication. Every single marine species that we've looked at so far is full of cocaine. The drugs affect this wildlife in the same way that they do us. So if you give a fish contraceptive pill, it starts to feminize. If you give crabs antidepressants, it changes their behavior, because those drugs were designed to change behavior. So if you give them illegal drugs as well, it has very much the same effect it has on them that it would do on people as well.
This has been the Sunday 7. Wherever you're listening, do us a favour and hit the follow button. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. with the regular Smart 7. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Written, produced and published by Daft Doris.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.